Welcome to the Fantasy Football Breakdown Podcast. This is episode 20. Wow, week five is in the books with the Monday night games later on tonight. But by the time you hear it, week five is in the books. Got some crazy injuries that happened again this weekend. I can't believe it. Swags, what's up, buddy? How'd you do this weekend?
Man, I actually didn't do that bad. My leagues, like, I felt pretty good about the ones I'm looking at the most right now. And but man, that Odell Beckham Jr. injury hurt a lot of us. Oof. But I feel the pain for sure.
Yeah, I know you got a lot of shares of OBJ and have even tried to move them to me recently. So I'm kind of glad I didn't jump on that game.
Yeah.
But man, you could tell that thing hurt.
Oh, man, I feel bad for the guy. I feel bad for the team. Not even a huge Giants fan, but that's too bad. It changes the NFL a lot when you lose players like that. So,
yeah, I mean, it's bad enough to lose him, but, like, everybody went down in that game, all the receiving options. I was kind of worried who they were going to put out there for a little while.
Yeah, for sure. So that was kind of rough.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, dude, wasn't too bad. I'm trying to figure out a couple situations moving forward with some teams, but who isn't?
Sure.
Yeah. How you feeling about Todd Gurley? You concerned about that game?
I mean, Todd Gurley's your boy, but I think it should have been almost what you expected from that game. I mean, Seattle dared Goff to beat him that way and kind of load up on Gurley and take that away, see if the young kid could do it. And man, outside of a few plays, I actually thought he looked all right.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp drops a touchdown late in that game. I mean, man, I felt like his hands are better than he's shown so far. He's definitely dropped a couple this season I wasn't expecting. But if he makes that catch, we're not really talking about, oh, Gurley didn't have a good game. We're talking about, man, the Rams won.
Yeah, like, there you go.
Seattle did what they were supposed to do in that game and stop Gurley.
And speaking of,
almost beat them in a low game.
Yeah. Speaking of Cooper Kupp, though, what's up with Sammy Watkins?
Man, I don't know if Goff just doesn't want to look his way. Is he just nervous to throw to the number one corner, you know, off the other team who's always on Sammy, it seems like?
It's just odd because he had that huge game, got the concussion, and then hardly any targets the next two games. I can't help but wonder if he's a decoy for now, but
yeah, I don't know, man. True.
It's just really weird.
He doesn't seem to even look his way at all. Like, obviously not for targets, but like even down the field, like Sammy's on the right side, he's immediately reading left or center.
Yeah. Might be time for Sammy to make a little bit of noise.
Right? Complain a little bit about getting the ball.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how you feel confident starting Sammy moving forward until you probably see it.
I don't.
And I feel like a lot of people are still going to be starting him in the weeks to come. Maybe myself included. just on potential, but man, he's got to get the ball.
I mean, I was talking to you earlier about the league that I own Odell Beckham Jr. in, and
yeah,
dude, I don't have much of an option. Like, I just lost Odell Beckham Jr. My other wide receiver's on a bye week. My other one's Sammy Watkins. I did pick up Willie Snead. I got that going for me, but it's his first week back, you know? Yeah. So, I don't know, man. What the hell are you supposed to do with Sammy Watkins? It's not like you drop somebody of that caliber. His trade value is nothing unless you find somebody that just crazy believes in him. I don't know, man.
And even then, you're not going to get what you paid for him still. You're still paying for a little bit of it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Oh, just his numbers are gross, man. I mean, if you took his name away, 14 catches, 211 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That's his season long.
Yeah, and that was like one game.
Yeah. Yeah, 6 for more than 100, and both touchdowns were all in that one game. So, wow.
Yeah, it's awful.
Kenny Galladay numbers. If he didn't have that name, he would be on waivers, and we'd be talking about him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's a few players like that too. Even like Jamison Crowder, I think they might give up on him. I'm hoping. That was my dachshund love there.
Right.
I don't know. You got anything else? You want to get into some waiver wire guys? Or how was your week, dude?
My week was all right. The biggest one I'm looking for coming in is hoping I win my Monday night game. But I need Murray to score less than 5 so I can win in my work league. I'm not a huge fan of Murray, but I'm assuming he probably gets 5 points.
Yeah, 5 points isn't much for the role that he might be sharing even. I still like McKinnon. I got McKinnon in a couple lineups right now. How you feeling about that, man? Speaking of Monday night, I know this is going to probably drop tomorrow, but what do you need from tonight outside of Murray? That's all you're really looking for?
I think that's all I really need. I mean, I have Diggs in a few lineups, but I feel like those are pretty much set. The only one I've paid real hard attention to is that work league with Murray. I do like McKinnon over Murray tonight, so I hope that's right by the time everybody's listening to this.
Yeah.
It's nice to see Bradford back. And I almost feel like that's going to help McKinnon more because Bradford still wants to just kind of sling it around and dunk it off.
Yep, I could see that.
I think Murray's hoping for a goal line, you know, touchdown that I hope he doesn't get.
Could help Kyle Rudolph a little bit too.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So who you got outside for waiver guys?
Let's jump into some waivers real quick before we get into that. Week 6 buys are the Bills, Cincinnati, Dallas, and Seattle. So hopefully you're getting some guys back from week 5 if you have the 6 ones. But if not, we do have a list here of some names to keep an eye on. I'm going to start with wide receivers, just kind of how it listed off. So feel free to jump in and add whatever you want there, Swags. I know we talked about before your best friend Mike Wallace. I do have him on the list at 33%. Monster, 133 yards, but it all came on 3 catches. Is that somebody you feel confident moving forward, or is this a swagger hag? I think we can play that with waivers here.
I don't know how confident I feel moving forward, but I don't feel any more confident in Macklin, to be honest with you. I know he out-targeted Wallace this week, but I think Wallace he's had 2 good weeks in a row. I think he's kind of proved that you could throw him in through these bye weeks or something like that. You know, if you find a seller, sell high, or a buyer, sell high. But I'm not excited about Mike Wallace. I kind of was towards the end of last season going into this season, but it's kind of still seems messy there. But yeah, I think you can start Mike Wallace if you need to.
Okay, let's come down. You talked about Aguilar before. I wrote down both Aguilar and Torrey Smith. Aguilar is up to 31% owned. Torrey Smith, that's 7. Right now, would you take Aguilar over Torrey Smith if you're grabbing one?
Yeah, I would.
Both personally had touchdowns in that last game. Both had big touchdown plays on that one. That Aguilar catch and shake after that was pretty nice. And then the falling down backwards in the end zone celebration was pretty cool to see.
Yeah. And so
both getting 4 or 5 targets. So, you know, one big play apiece. Wentz looks good chucking the ball around on that Cardinals defense this weekend. So,
yep. And it's just Torrey Smith's just one of those players that's burned me too many times.
That's fair.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You just get those bad tastes in your mouth. So I get it.
Yep.
Not opposed to it, but yeah, that's just not the direction I'm going to go.
No, that's fair. I'm going to stay in the NFC East there. And, since literally almost all of the Giants wide receivers went down, the lone man standing is Roger Lewis. He was 0% owned, and then I checked again this morning, he's up to 1%, so it must be a few that allow waivers to happen after the fact. He only caught 1 catch for 20 yards and a touchdown, but do you want any part of Roger Lewis moving forward? At Denver next week, that's not good.
That's not good at all. I mean, somebody's got to catch the ball.
And that's all there is to say.
Yeah, I guess I don't. He's not who I would be going after, and I lost Odell Beckham Jr., and he will not be targeted by me. I'll have to see it first.
I didn't write Shepard down here. You know, Shepard is the ankle. I think I saw 2 to 3 weeks, so he should be out.
Yep.
I haven't heard an update on Brandon Marshall at this point.
I think it's 1 to 3 weeks.
Is that what it is?
Which I know.
So one of those guys is going to have to step up into the role. I'm assuming you're going to lean Shepard there, like to take over that. I'm not saying he's going to be OBJ, but maybe targets wise.
Yeah.
Is that where Jordan's going to look to go?
Well, target wise, I think it'll be Shepard and Ingram. I mean, you'll have to target Brandon Marshall as well when they're all on the field. I think that Shepard will make the most of his targets.
I hear. I like the Ingram call. We'll get to that in just a second. I got 2 more wide receivers I want to mention before we get to anyone that you got there. And I'm going to go to the Chargers. You were right that the Chargers did beat the Giants. So the Chargers finally get a win there. And that was a good call by you in the 2-minute breakdown. Tried to throw you a little curveball there. But Mike Williams, the rookie, is expected to play this week. So I'm excited about that. Him and Travis Benjamin are both only 8% owned. So both of those are out there. Benjamin seems to be used on some weird gadget plays and stuff like that. He's a big boom bust guy, but how do you feel about Mike Williams? Is that somebody that you would look to grab here if you lost OBJ or and are looking for some kind of spark, or you just don't believe in Mike Williams yet?
I would consider him. Yeah, for sure.
How do you think he affects, you know, maybe Keenan and Hunter Henry now that, you know, those roles are kind of, you know, Hunter Henry kind of stepped up this week. That was nice.
Man, I don't think he'll affect somebody like Keenan Allen. Hunter Henry, we've already seen can be affected by anybody. So I would be concerned about that. I'd be more concerned about Travis Benjamin and Tyrell Williams and those guys, you know.
I hear you. I like the idea of Mike Williams coming back, I guess, and being ready to show up.
Oh, for sure.
You know, a lot of talk there. So I'm interested to see just how much that helps the whole offense in general, and does he benefit from it? Does Keenan, or is it, you know, even the run game there?
You almost just have so to many, think it takes so a couple weeks, though, right?
Sure. Yeah, I wouldn't grab him and expect the world, you know, this week coming up. But they are playing Oakland, iffy secondary. I wouldn't start him this week, but it wouldn't surprise me if he had, you know, a touchdown on a couple catches just because of his height and use down low.
Yep.
Any other wide receivers you have to add to that mix there? I know I probably took quite a few years.
You know, I still like Josh Doctson out of the bye week. And
yep, that's good. That's a good one.
I can't tell you how many times I've watched that catch
that
he hurt his shoulder on. I mean, I'm weird, so I watched it a few times a day, even just because I'm thinking, like, man, who am I going to pick up to replace Odell Beckham Jr.? And just trying to figure it out, you know, and so I kept watching that play and being like, you know, he dropped that, but man, look at that shit. You know what I mean? Like, he's good. He's an athletic guy. Man, so yeah, I still like Josh Doctson. He's somebody I would think about picking up. For sure. You know that, though. So I've been mentioning it. I don't know his ownership, but I know it's really low. If it was 7% last time we talked, I can't imagine it went up.
Yeah, I feel like I looked at it and it was 4 or 5, and I almost wrote that one down for you. That's a good one coming off the bye because he is forgotten about. And probably a little bit lower on that waiver list there. I mean, Cousins did go to him down when it mattered. The last thing I read is he was dealing with some shoulder issues from coming down all funky on that one, but I don't know if that's more ego or a true injury. So just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, well, it's a shoulder sprain or something, though.
Yeah, his ego got bruised there,
but,
too. So.
Oh, for sure. But, I mean, he's coming out of a bye week. You have to think he's healthy.
Yeah.
Something seems weird about Crowder this year. I can't imagine them. I don't know. I think Doxson's the better wide receiver. He's been injury prone is the problem, but I don't know. Something seems weird about Crowder. I would almost rather own Doctson than Crowder at this point, and I'm surprised to say that.
How about Pryor?
No.
Is Pryor underneath Crowder for you?
That's a tough one. Can we put him at even? Wow. But I like Crowder more.
Sure, man. You hate some Pryor.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. All right, I'm going to jump funky. I'm going to go to tight end. I'm going to jump to tight ends here. Was that all your wide receivers?
Yeah, dude, we're good. Keep it moving. Yeah, you got this.
All right. Tight end. So Charles Clay went down. Looks like he's out a couple of weeks. They are on bye this week, so you're probably already looking for a fill-in anyways. I believe that's the only tight end injury of what I'm going to call significance that happened this weekend, unless you can think of one. A lot of usual suspects here that I wrote down. Njoku caught another touchdown. He's not getting a whole lot of catches, which I'm still surprised they don't look to feed him a little bit more. But Kaiser was benched out of this game for throwing quite a few interceptions.
Yeah.
Hogan comes in and immediately throws a touchdown to Njoku. So it's just kind of nice to see that wasn't just a, you know, Kaiser and him kind of, you know, locking together. He can do it with anybody.
Yeah.
Interesting one coming up there.
He should be more of the plan, I think, in that offense, though. Like, I don't see why they don't just have him scripted in and just target him.
I agree. I feel like I've been saying that since they drafted him, like, because I was expecting really big things from him, just from what is there, and injuries like Coleman and even Lewis, I think, go down, and they still don't feature him. That offense is just a mess. I don't know what else to say there.
Yeah.
We got another rookie over in San Fran, Kittle. Only 1% owned. they were pretty even in this game and even up a little bit, and he still got 9 targets. He caught 7 of them, 83 yards and a touchdown. A couple big plays, ran hard, looked for contact. He's kind of fun to watch, so probably a deeper stash and maybe, you know, prey on some matchups, but I just thought it was interesting to mention him.
Yeah, for sure. And with injuries and the bye weeks coming up,
you might have to grab one of these guys and start him this week. There are worse options out there, like what I'm going to call the next one, an Ed Dixon. 5% owned, 175 yards on 5 catches. Boy, if you saw that coming, you should buy lottery tickets, because that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, offensive scheme-wise, they ran 2 beautiful plays. I mean, they schemed to get him open. They weren't busted coverages or anything. They were very well designed.
Yeah, he put himself in some good company yesterday with that game. They were saying some of the players that had had those bigger games at tight end before, and, I mean, most of them were Hall of Famers, yeah.
Right. I don't see how that happens again. I mean, maybe a random one here or there. I just don't. I feel like they should take some of those plays and move them around and find ways to get, you know, more playmakers involved, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, with that said, it happened. So, we know, he's like you said, he's going to be part of the plan.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen again. I mean, most players that do have a game like that don't have another game like that for a while. I mean, even some all-star. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I'd feel better trusting either one of the rookies that I just mentioned before I would Dixon again. But I guess we'll see in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
And then the other one is one you mentioned earlier, in Ingram, with all the Giants going down. And I know that he only had 4 targets and didn't catch any in this game. I feel like I'm not worried there for whatever reason, just because there isn't another option. He is the most dynamic playmaker now on that team.
Yeah, I agree. Double-digit
targets if the Giants have any chance moving forward.
Yeah, there's no reason that his target should have been at 4 for that game or moving forward. I mean, he's been averaging, 8 to 10 targets a game. I see his season being a lot closer to that than 4 targets. I mean, sometimes that just happens in games where a guy, for whatever reason, whether it's coverage or whatnot, they just can't get him the ball. And yeah, I like Ingram a lot.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce has a concussion, then with bye weeks too and all the other injuries we've seen, you never know.
That's true. I mean, I'd still feel comfortable starting another rookie, Ingram, ahead of Dixon that we mentioned before.
Yeah, I agree. That's my favorite one of the tight ends that we just mentioned there.
Yeah, Ingram. Oh, I think I'll still take Njoku over them, but it's very close. It's very close. I wrote down 3 other tight ends here, definitely bigger names. Chances are they're owned, but percentage-wise, they're less than 50%, so I want to bring them up a little different to you here and just kind of give you their stats going through the first 4 games. All of them have only played 4 games, but one of them is on it. One sat out 1 game. So their team has actually played 5, but the other ones have already had byes. So that might help you a little bit there. But one guy has 11 catches, 129 yards, and 2 touchdowns. One has 10 catches, 128 yards, and 1 touchdown. And one has 17 catches and 163 yards. No touchdowns. All those guys are 47% owned. That's through 4 games, so none of those numbers are great by any means, even for tight ends.
I'm trying to think who the guys would be. So is it? Am I supposed to guess the guys?
Sure.
Austin Hooper
is one of them, and that's one of them. Yep. So you got 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I'm kind of stumped. Cameron Gray.
Nope. Huh. No, this one's tough. This one is, I'll just give it to you.
All right, I'm ready.
It's Doyle.
Oh, it's Doyle. Yeah, okay.
He sat out this last game here. But do you know which guy is what there on the stats? Like, do any of those, you know what I mean, when you're thinking of the stats, does one of those guys stand out? I know they're kind of close, but
I think Fleener was the one with the 17 targets.
Catches?
Was it catches?
But that's actually Doyle.
Huh.
Doyle doesn't have any touchdowns so far. 17 catches, 163 yards. Sat out a game and still has a bye to come. But he's still less than 50% owned, and it looks like Luck's going to be back at, you know, within a few weeks now.
Yeah, they said it might be as much as 4.
Yeah, I mean, when they came back a few weeks ago and said it wasn't going to be November, and then we got all excited because he was practicing last week. Still looking like November, I guess. So maybe a little early to jump on Doyle, but one to keep an eye on. If Luck comes back, you got to feel more confident about it. Hooper is the one with only 10 catches and only one touchdown. Fleener's the one that's got the two touchdowns right now.
Huh. Well, both through their bye weeks.
And both through their bye weeks. You know, Fleener you got to watch out for with Snead coming back, if you believe that side of it. Hooper I kind of like moving forward. You know, Julio hasn't shined yet, but Sanu, I think, is still out at least two more weeks with a hamstring. Gabriel, I think, is more gadget than real time. So I think Cooper's got some big targets coming his way. Hopefully he puts some together.
I'm not worried about Julio, are you?
I'm not worried about Julio. This is kind of what he does. If you go back, if you drafted Julio, you shouldn't be that upset. I mean, I think we're hoping for bigger games to come and put a couple, you know, big plays together.
Yeah,
pull some
definitely.
Touchdowns in, but this is what he does. He's never been a huge touchdown guy.
Yeah.
What, he had two a couple years ago, four the year before that? So we're ready for bigger and better things, but it's not too far off from what he normally gives you.
Here's a trade that I saw today that I saw some split opinions on. So okay. Travis Kelce and Hogan for Julio Jones and Jordan Reed.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. That's redraft? That's just right now?
Yep. What do you think about
That's pretty interesting. I think I'm going to lean the Julio side, but man, Hogan's numbers have been crazy.
I agree. It's a nice trade. And so I took the same side as you.
Both tight ends have obvious injury question marks now, especially with Kelce and the, you know, concussion. Yeah. Like he strained his neck too, the way he just got hit. Like he's probably dealing with some, you know, neck stiffness, you know, spasms, that kind of stuff that's probably not helping.
So for me on that deal, I personally think Julio's still the best player in the trade. And I agree the tight ends are sort of even, you know, to your point. I think I'd put Kelce a little bit above, but they're pretty even.
Sure.
But then, and Hogan's awesome. You know, I'm not trying to discount him, you know, but Julio's the best guy in the trade. You're still sitting good with Hogan, but here's what got me. Both Julio and Reed had their bye weeks last week. They're going to probably come out of them a little bit healthier. They're done with their bye weeks. That's all that I needed to know. You know, it tilted the scale for me.
You get an extra game from both moving forward. Yeah, because both of the other ones still have theirs to come. So that's good. Yeah.
So that tilted the scale for me on that trade.
Yeah, like you said, I kind of leaned Julio just because anyways, but I definitely like that point you bring up. Take a look at that when you're dealing with trades for rest of the season. Maybe doesn't sound like a lot, but that's two extra games that you get over your opponent if you make that deal.
And you can always find somebody to take Julio.
Exactly. Yeah, he's still going to hold name value for quite a while.
Yeah, I saw that trade a little bit today, though, and I saw it in a couple different chats and some conflicting opinions on it. So, but I was heavy to the Julio side. But I thought it was a decent trade. It wasn't like that, but I was just looking at it. I was like, well, it's Julio. It's still Julio.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there, but I think it's a fair trade. It's even both ways there. You know, you can make cases on either side. So
yeah, I agree.
As long as both sides are good with it, I like that.
Yep.
All right, I got a couple running backs to get into. I don't know. I'm going to leave the one for you that I know you probably want to mention the most, but I'm going to jump in with Marlon Mack at 8%. Man, nine rushes for 91 yards and a touchdown is very nice to see. Only caught one ball, but he only had one target, so I can't fault him there. Are you ready to trust Marlon Mack over Gore?
I'm ready to trust Marlon Mack. I think. Well, if I had Frank Gore, I don't know if he'd crack my lineup, nor do I think Marlon Mack would. So I think I'd want to own Marlon Mack because I think he's in better insurance policy for the way my teams are set up. I think that,
play if that happens.
Yeah, but I think that, I'm fine trusting Marlon Mack.
Marlon Mack only played 18 snaps. Gore played 42. That's just the part that gives me some hesitation. That efficiency of when he's in there. I mean, it's nice to see when he's in there, he's basically getting the ball on every other snap that he's in there. But I almost want to play the volume with Gore still. Like, if I own them both, I think Gore would make my lineup much more than Mack would.
Yeah.
Especially with Luck, you know. I think the closer to Luck getting back, the more Gore's I'm going to feel more confident about.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to say Gore's a buy low right now, because that just feels wrong. But I could see him, you know, from weeks, what, I think their buy is in 10, you know, so that 11, 12 and on kind of having RB2 numbers, you know, like he always does with Luck's there.
Yeah. And even like you said with Doyle, you know what I mean? Like those guys will get, all those guys should be a little bit better once Luck's back.
Yeah. He just commands a little bit more from everybody and brings it out. So, let's see. I'll leave that one for you. How about let's talk about the Packers. Jamari Williams, 1 carry, 1 yard. He looked flat when he was in there, even on the few plays he was asked. But in the exact opposite, Aaron Jones, 19 rushes, 125 and a touchdown. You know, caught the only pass to him. Looked really good, though. I watched a lot of this game. Did you watch this game?
No, I did not.
Man, I watched quite a bit of that game. Late in that game, Packers are down fourth, you know, going for it on fourth down, and they toss pitch to the rookie on fourth and one, and he goes and gets it. Just, there's some confidence there. Picks up the blitz pretty well. I don't know if this means maybe they don't rush Ty back. Because remember, Ty does have sickle cell. I know, you know, we kind of thought Ty was going to play, and I'm not saying he's not going to play next week, but maybe he doesn't need to get the 90% share like he was before, and they've kind of found this, and we end up more running back by committee just between Ty and Jones, you know, than we wanted, you know, or without having that one guy stud.
Yeah. It doesn't concern me, and here's why. I think that Ty Montgomery's role is so much different than the role that somebody like Aaron Jones is going to play.
Yeah.
Where I think Aaron Jones will take some touches away from Ty Montgomery. I think Ty Montgomery is a little bit more dependent on his catching.
Sure.
So I think that they'd be a good combination of players to have out there, you know? So, I don't know.
Keep them both fresh. Yeah. I feel a little worried as a Ty owner, if you don't have Jones, that you're not going to have those huge upside games if they allow Jones to take 12 rushes or something like that away, and Ty comes back to single digit rushes or, you know, 5 rushes and a lot more catches.
Right.
Maybe he ends up closer to like what Ellington is.
You know,
as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. I do wish that I bought into Aaron Jones a little bit more last week. I will say that for sure. I was kind of like, Ty Montgomery will be back. No big deal. Blah, 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 blah. But I wish that I bought into that a little bit more.
Yeah, I was getting into a conversation about what do you think you'd have to pay dynasty wise for Marlon Mack and Aaron Jones right now? Say both of them are on somebody's team.
I was offered a second for Aaron Jones and I declined it.
Ooh, okay. So it was going into the discussion and a first to get both of them. Would you give up a first to get both Marlon Mack and Aaron Jones?
Me,
I feel like that's steep.
It depends on my team needs, honestly.
Yeah.
And where my team is. If I lost Ty Montgomery, I might be willing to pay a little bit more or a situation like that. If I was a team that wasn't really contending this year too much, I would not give up a first for them. I'd rather be in the draft next year. But if I'm looking for players to continue on a winning team, you know, and go to the playoffs, I think that I can see it.
Yeah. What I end up saying was I'd offer 2 seconds or even like a second and a third. I wouldn't give up a first. But wait like a week or two for like Ty Montgomery to come back or Frank Gore to have a decent game and Marlon Mack, you know, doesn't have 50%, you know, touch rate when he's in the game and goes off for a touchdown, kind of disappears, and those people kind of back off. But yeah, those two guys are interesting moving forward in their roles and what's around them.
I got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Not to break up all your waiver stuff and what we got going here, but like, so if, let's say I'm in first place, hypothetically, and the team that wants him is in second place, do you charge more?
Right now, yeah, we're week five. I probably still do because I don't want to help that guy right behind me.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm saying. Like,
and that pick's not going to be worth much. If you feel like he's with you, then you're talking about a very high end, whatever, second round or whatever. You know
what I mean? And that's another good point there you're bringing up. And that I did think about that. So, and now I'm going to help him out by covering. He's got Ty Montgomery, you know, so he wants Aaron right. Jones bad. For the second, to me, it's like, well, like you said, it's probably going to be a later second. And I'm helping this guy contend against me. So to me, it's like, no, you got to pay for it, you know, because I'm helping a team out that I don't need to win much more.
Right. You're, it's more of a long-term stash for you to play, not necessarily this year, but next year or the year after when they move on or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's speculative to play. Yeah. No, if you're right behind me and you're both, you know, like 4-1 or something like that, or, you know, even later on in the season, yeah, I'm going to make that guy pay a lot because – if nothing else, their picks, you know, that much higher. And like you said, I'm now competing against them for, you know, to move on. No thanks.
Yeah. So I want to first.
I'll let them fend for themselves on the waiver that hopefully we grabbed up last week or the week before when we grabbed Aaron Jones and stuff like that.
Yep. I want a first.
Yeah, I'm not giving you a first.
Sorry, Brandon. I want a first.
Oh, there it is. I do want to bring up the next two. Let's go back to Baltimore. So I wrote down both Buck, who's at 57%, Buck Allen, and Alex Collins at 41%. This game was a real mystery to me. Ravens were up a decent amount in that game, and yet they didn't give it to the hammer. They kept giving it to the nail and Buck.
Yeah.
Like, Buck had 21 rushes for 73 yards. You know, I think he got four or five balls, but for, like, almost nothing, like 10 yards or something like that. Alex Collins, 12 rushes, 55 yards. Like, I don't get, like, that game. As soon as it got up, I was like, yes. You know, I made a lot of Alex Collins over Buck Allen calls this past week.
Me too.
And as soon as that game got up, I was like, sweet, here we go. Feed him. And I was like, where's Collins? I don't even see him. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think Buck ran okay. 21 rushes for 73 yards doesn't scream great production, you know, to me. He didn't fumble. Alex Collins didn't fumble in this game. So I don't know if it's just he has fumbled in the previous two and they didn't want to give up the rock, which I guess I get. So playing the fact safe. That he didn't fumble in this game, maybe that's better going forward. But I feel like I'm going to have to see it from Collins, you know, ahead of Buck, at least a game or two in a row before I start making that call the other way.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Even Terrence West, didn't he get like the first one or two carries, but then was out?
Yep, he's hurt. Like,
West is droppable. I'm going to say it. If you still had West on your team for some reason, like I do, in one, I'm going to pick up one of these guys.
Yeah.
I think that's time that you can sail on that one. All right, I have two more running backs down here, and then I'm going to let you get to at least one I know you got. I wrote down Shane Vereen at only 14%. Now, I'm definitely talking about full PPR here, but again, it goes back to who's going to catch the ball there. Even at the end of that Giants game, they were running two tight end sets. Roger Lewis or whatever the hell his name is out there wide, and they're running Shane Vereen out there in the slot and stuff like that. So just – opportunity based, I feel like Vereen gets a little bit of a bump coming up here. Didn't do a whole lot. Only just a few rushes, two catches. Same with my next guy, Sharkandrick West. Only 6% owned. This guy literally touched the ball three times. If you watch that game, I felt like he was all over the place all the time. But he touched the ball three times. Two of them went for touchdowns.
Yeah.
I've asked you before, as a Hunt owner, do you need to own Sharkandrick West?
It kind of looks that way now, but I don't know. I think Hunt's a lot more talented. You know I don't love West, but...
For sure.
He's probably worth a spot. I'm not running out to get him, but he's probably worth a spot. I think I'd be silly to not admit that.
Yeah. I kind of grouped him and Vereen together. I think just... Man... Same kind of backs, although West is doing it at a much, much higher level, but with less touches. West is only good if you have Hunt, basically. And I don't usually say that handcuff-wise. I think if there's a handcuff out there, you should get him. But I think it's literally only if you have Hunt there.
Yeah.
And it's only if Hunt goes down. You're never going to start West.
I agree.
Even with Conley going out, Chris Conley, I think, is Achilles, done for the season. You know, not that he was a huge weapon for them on the outside, but I think, you know, in the same token, maybe we see West a little bit more. Maybe work out of the slaughter in the backfield and kind of move out and see some West and Hunt back there. Yeah. But
or if Kelsey misses
even
a week.
Kelsey being questionable. Yeah. Uh-huh. Man, I hope you don't have to pick up West and start him because of bye week and crazy stuff. I would not feel good about that.
Yeah,
but I think it's at least a name that we need to mention because of production. That's all I got. I think you got one or at least one I know that I wrote down, but I didn't say. I'll let you take it.
Well, I know you got Matt Breda on there and didn't mention him. I think
I'll leave that one for you.
I mean, so what's up? Is Hyde done or are they nursing him and not telling us? Because they said it wasn't injury related. So
yeah, so I actually hadn't seen it at that point. And our buddy over at the Fantasy Shack tweeted, and I threw that back out there and retweeted that Breda had 35 snaps to Hyde's 33, and that Kyle Shanahan had just said that Hyde wasn't hurt, that he was going with a hot hand approach. So it's very interesting moving forward to me.
I honestly don't think Shanahan ever was 100% happy with Hyde being his running back. I think that he knew he was going to be his running back and he was the talented one. He knew the system that was there. But I don't think that, I think that Shanahan would have loved to use Joe Williams. Now obviously that's a mute point, but I think that he's happy to be going with Breda and how Breda's worked out for him. I think that go get Breda. I think that you can feel comfortable flexing him. I'm not saying go to get him and throw him right in, you know, but if you need to, I think that Breda's definitely worth more than a stash. So
in 12 team, you pick him up in 12 team.
Yeah. I'll pick him up in 12 team.
10 team?
Sure. You've seen my teams.
That's fair.
you might be asking the wrong guy, but yeah,
that's fair. I mean, Breda's only 7% owned right now. Did run well, 10 carries, 49 yards. So that's a decent clip right there. Went to him on third and fourth downs in that game. Weren't afraid to feed him too, and caught three balls for 22 yards. So seems to be kind of using all facets there.
Would you rather own like Breda or somebody like Alex Collins? Breda or Alex Collins?
Man, I feel like I'm going to lean Alex Collins there, but I think it's close. I own Collins already in a few leagues. I don't own any shares of Breda. So if that tells you anything there. I'll have to look, though. I believe in the league that I still own West, that Collins is already gone. So I'll take Breda and that, you know, I'll take Breda over Mac if those are the two options I'm sitting looking at there.
Yeah. And then a couple guys you didn't mention too off of the Giants, and I don't know their ownership, but Wayne Gallman and then Darkwa, they both had pretty decent weeks. I think that they'll still get some usage. I was able to get Wayne Gallman in two leagues after we put out Free for All Friday. Because I play that game, I'll go to start to look like, oh, we just talked about all these guys. Like, I haven't even looked at my leagues. But so Wayne Gallman's probably still out there too. I think he's going to have a decent role in the offense. We've done such
Gallman's
a good...
at 39% owned, so he's definitely still out there in a lot. A number's definitely gone up the last 2 weeks, so maybe some people out there listening to
so, this. I mean, yeah, holy cow. Go get some Wayne Gallman. I like him and, moving forward.
Oh, Darkwa's all the way down at 3%. I mean, I'll take Gallman over Darkwa, but I would say Darkwa's almost definitely available out there.
Yep. Somebody else to stick with running backs, and we've done such a good job not talking about this team today, but Matt Forte, he's going to be coming back soon. Powell got a little bit banged up. I think that Matt Forte will resume his role once he's back.
All right, so the
Jets have showed us that they actually want to win.
Yeah, it's crazy to think going into the season, the Jets were immediately tanking. Like, even in the preseason, they were already tanking. And right now, the Giants are 0-5.
Yeah.
So, and And it only looks like it's going to get worse for them. I don't see how that season turns around at this point, losing your best player. So, oof. But I like if Powell's hurt a little bit, I get Forte's coming back, but maybe McGuire gets a little chance to shine a little bit too. He looked like crap this week. I'll own that one for sure. Like 10 for 22 against Cleveland. Gross.
Yep.
Definitely needed to put up, but.
Sorry I brought up the Jets.
Yeah, that's all right. It just means you have to find the drop, buddy.
It's not all right.
Do you have any more running backs mentioned?
I don't.
All right, I want to throw just real quick a couple quarterbacks. We don't normally spend a lot of time on quarterbacks here, but Simeon, only 30% owned coming off of that bye, so probably just because he's more of a streaming candidate for most of y'all. But he's playing against the Giants. Giants are a mess. Their secondary is not awful, but I look for Simeon at home against the Giants to probably play pretty well.
Yep.
Bradford's supposed to be starting the Monday night game. You know that at this point, but he's only 18% owned. So if he has a decent game, look for people to go after him if you're looking for a bye week fill-in. In that same game, Trubisky is playing tonight or yesterday. He's only at 9%. That's probably a streamer at best unless he just lights Minnesota on fire.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting that. And last but not least, Hoyer at only 9% going up against Washington this week. Even though it's at Washington, there's no Josh Norman. So,
right.
Hoyer threw for like 350 against the Colts. The Redskins are not the Colts. I get that. But still, streaming option to think about.
Yeah. But like you said, no Josh Norman.
Yeah, I think that makes that Redskins defense a lot different. So I'm interested to see how they show out now and maybe for some offenses in the future to shine again in the next couple of weeks with them still missing, I think, 3 more weeks, I believe.
Yep. I just picked up Simeon in the leagues I own Dak in to play him on those bye weeks. So,
yeah, that's a good fill-in this week. You know, with Simeon, you know, being home to the Giants, I think he can get some work done.
Yep, I agree. You ready to get into the 2-minute breakdown? How you feeling on that?
Man, you know it. I'm ready for this. I'm ready to see what kind of crap you got coming my way today.
All right. Like
I gave you some weirder ones last week, but you're probably used to it by now.
Yeah, I'm used to it. You got some weird shit. You don't ask me about the Super Bowl, so I can't complain. Kudos to you.
Well, it's getting closer to it. We all know shit what's going to happen now. It was more fun like 30 weeks out.
And now your 2-minute breakdown.
All right, you got the timer ready for you.
You know it, dude. I am prepared.
All right.
Something you are not accustomed to.
One player you are trying to stay. Oh wait, want me to slow down here? We're going to go.
Whoa.
We are jumping into the 2-minute breakdown a little too fast.
Dang.
Holy cow.
That was quick.
Whew.
I am freaking out already. Playing mind games.
I gave you a small taste of what you were going to get. You don't hit start yet. All right, here we go.
Already going. I can't stop.
One player you are trying to stash or trade for in redraft.
Oh, man. Jay. It's got to get better.
Coke or Pepsi?
Ooh. Regular Coke, wild cherry Pepsi.
Okay. Dude, I agree with that. Good point. It wasn't the fucking question, but good point.
I answer shit like I want, damn it. Let's go.
Will DeMarco Murray... Will the increased usage of DeMarco Murray help him or hurt him?
It might hurt, man. I hope it'll help, but I don't know if he can keep up.
Better start week 6. Week 6, dude. Daxon or Mike Williams?
Ooh, Daxon.
Barry Sanders or Bo Jackson?
It's got to be Bo.
Oh, dude, that was gross.
Bo no. Bo knows football.
Fuck. Macklin or Mike Wallace, rest of season. Macklin or Mike Wallace, rest of season.
Macklin.
Will Teddy Bridgewater play this year?
No.
First CD you ever owned.
Oh, shit. Come back to that.
How many Cleveland Browns does it take to change a tire?
Oh, I don't know. All of them?
One, unless it's a blowout, then they all show up.
Oh, damn.
Who will be rookie 1.01 overall in Dynasty next year?
It's got to be Barkley. Saquon Barkley.
Njoku or Ingram rest of season? You kind of already answered that one.
Yeah, I'll go in Njoku, but it's close. It's close.
Do you have one league that you're watching or care about a little bit more than other leagues?
Yes. I have a few that's like that.
And the first CD you ever owned?
Oh, that was the last one coming back to it?
Yep.
All right, so I'm pretty sure the first CD I ever owned was It Was Written by Nas. Huh. That I got in one of those, what was it? Like the Columbia House, like 16 for one or whatever. Oh, yeah. Remember that shit?
Hell yeah.
I'm pretty sure Nas It Was Written was the first one I got.
Those seemed like they turned out to be such good deals for everybody except for Columbia House.
Right.
Like, I got a lot of CDs that way.
I know, right? I do like different names and stuff. I got them like twice from each place. There was one other place that was like Columbia House that was like that too.
My first CD was Stone Temple Pilots Core.
Nice.
Yeah, I remember it was in the, went back when CDs came in the big cardboard boxes and everything.
Yep.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
And it had that crazy, like, long plastic thing, like, made it, like, 2 feet tall or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You had to go get taken up specially, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep. But this was even before those. Stores. Yep. Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, no, I remember the cardboard. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I remember music stores, dude. They don't even have any anymore. Now, they have record stores because records came back a little bit, but it's hard to find, like, a really good, like, shop to just go to, but I don't know. You can find anything on your phone, though. That's the beauty of it.
And the curse.
And the curse. Yeah. Everything's changed. So you did pretty good on those questions.
It was so close. If I didn't have to come back to the CD one, I think I had it in time.
Wild Cherry Pepsi is really good, though.
Right? I'll take regular Coke, but Wild Cherry Pepsi over Cherry Coke all day long.
Well, you know, I had a couple of those short ones like blah, 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 or blah, 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 rest of season. I think that shortened it up a lot.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm with you. It's kind of almost not as fun when you make it.
Yeah. And I almost asked you your favorite color, but you asked me that once and I thought it was super lame. So I didn't want to be lame like you.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, we had two color, I remember we had two color questions that time. Oh, by the way, how did Michigan play? How was it around the house up there? After state one.
It was a late night.
You guys aren't too crazy.
I fell asleep on the couch, and I woke up with 5 minutes left and went to my room at the in-laws.
Nice. That's probably smarter.
My son was awake, and I left him behind, and I guess he was pissed off because he got left downstairs with grandma and grandpa, but
I don't know. Suck it up. You're watching football.
Yeah. Damn it. But yeah, so it was a crappy game, man. They played like crap. Michigan State's not even that good. But a corn sucks, dude. Put a corn in a can.
Nice. all right, dude. I think that's...
Who are you?
I'm gonna give people where I'm at. I am at... Two Drink Minimum on the Fantasy Life app. I am at FL Two Drink Minimum on Twitter and Sleeperbot. Also, Shane, you go first.
Yeah, I am Swagzilla on the Fantasy Life app. Swagzilla OG on Twitter and Sleeperbot. And then 2017 FL Chat. That's what's up.
Go in there. He'll answer all your questions.
I'll try.
He doesn't sleep. Otherwise, come find me at FF_breakdown on Twitter. Hit me with any questions there. We'll get them retweeted out. Get that shit out there for the masses. Like our podcast, subscribe, review it. Maybe I'll start reading some reviews. I've heard some other places do that, and some of those can be kind of funny. Just not interested in some of our Fantasy Life app guys that are going to throw some funny ones up there too, I bet.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll read those. we need some more reviews. Come on, fools. You guys like it.
Yep. Time. Killing it. Come get the information from us before you get it from everybody else in a week or two.
Boom.
Too much.
In your face. only if they don't listen to it that way. As long as they listen to it first, then it's okay.
Yep.
On that note.